The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode of Fanatics includes adult language and content. Listener discretion advised.
So like probably 20 years ago, I wrote a play called Potential Space, where I made a woman play my vagina and another woman play my heart and another woman play my head. And then I played the female that they all existed in.
You were so early on the Pixar movie. You were so early. Like you did it 20 years before.
Everyone's got their thing. All right, kids, grab your ticket, strap in. It's a roller coaster of an episode. We have on today a very special guest. But before we even do that, let me tell you about my very special co-host, as always, Miss Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David Magadoff. How are you doing today?
I am very excited because we just had ourselves a lovely conversation with the most wonderful Kirsten Vangsness. You know her from Criminal Minds, everyone. I don't even have to tell you that. Shelf Life, Pretty the Series. Of course, she's a force on the old Instagram. Check her out. But we had her on today to talk about something that I learned a whole lot about. Why don't you share with us, Miss Claire Kramer?
You know, it's funny because when we were discussing with her and her PR team what she would like to talk about, she's like, oh, yeah, like I'm like really fanatical about Duran Duran and Doctor Who and also the female sexual response cycle. And I think everyone on the Fanatics team was like, ooh,
that
meme of like, ooh, yes, that's definitely the one. So just to give like a broad definition, because a lot of times when people think about sex or female sex or male sex or, you know, whatever combination, self-sex, I guess you could say, they think about the orgasm as being like the goal or the achievement or, you know, what sex means.
The everything.
Yeah, the pinnacle, which it is the apex of the sexual response cycle. But the response cycle actually takes the female experience, and I'm sure there's a male one out there as well. I'm not as familiar with it because we didn't just discuss it. But the female sexual response cycle takes the experience of the female body, the vagina, and all the inner workings of the vagina, and breaks it down into four stages, which I thought was extremely educational. So the first stage is the excitement or the arousal
desire
stage, where, you know, you're thinking about sex and things, you know, the blood flow to the vagina increases and, you know, different chemical things start to happen. So that's the excitement. And the excitement phase can last, you know, 20 minutes to a couple hours. The next stage is the plateau stage, where I think a lot of women get caught from speaking with other women, where you're aroused and you're excited, but you haven't achieved the orgasm. The takeaway is the plateau phase is normal, which Kirsten does a great job of explaining how emotionally and intellectually everything plays into that. But once you surpass the plateau stage, that's your apex, the orgasm, where obviously the muscles contract, the uterus contracts, you know, there's secretion of fluids, you know, all that stuff, all that good stuff. You feel euphoria. And then the moment after, which I actually wasn't aware this was considered part of the cycle, was resolution, where your body returns to normal. And not just, you know, you do still feel the mental euphoria state perhaps, but you're, you know, the blood flows to other areas of your body and the excitement and arousal is gone. And that's why it's called the resolution.
AKA cuddle time. major cuddle time.
So Kirsten does a really phenomenal job of walking David and I through the female sexual response cycle. We get into like a couple really interesting topics, which we can talk more about in the post-show wrap-up. But that is, you know, I just wanted to give everyone a little bit of a background in case you weren't off the hand familiar, as I wasn't before doing this episode.
Because let's be honest, she's wonderful on Criminal Minds. I met her at an awards show for the Audio Society, and she was emceeing and hosting. But again, what I love about this podcast is you think you know somebody, and then there's a whole nother level, and it was an absolute joy. So if you were ever to give our podcast 5 stars, I think today's the day. Enjoy.
Kirsten, let's just dive right in. Explain to someone the female sexual response cycle if they don't know what that term means.
Okay. The female sexual response cycle is the response cycle of a female, or as I like to think, any feminine bent creature, right, who identifies in more on their feminine side than on their masculine side, because as we all know, everybody's got both in the middle and all the things. And notice I'm not saying orgasm. I'm saying the female sexual response cycle. I am a little obsessed with it. So it starts at desire. So it's desire.
Okay.
Arousal. Orgasm. It's in there, right?
It's one of the factors. Yes. And what's
one of the factors?
What's the fourth?
Resolution.
Resolution. Okay.
She's holding up her 4 fingers and circling her other hand around them just for visual.
I was actually thinking about it today because I was thinking about other things I'm a fan of that are similar. Like I'm a fan of Duran Duran. Think of this as band members.
Right.
John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Yes. Think of desire, arousal, orgasm, and resolution. Think of those as seasons of Doctor Who.
They're not going solo. They're not releasing singles. They're not, you know.
Yeah, no, Eclecticism, I always say his last name wrong. But that season, it's like, that's the part where you're like, I'm not really, I don't get the hype.
That's
and then
the
you might be like big about David Tennant and you're like, bring it more now, you know. And then there's times and parts of it where you're like, why are we doing an episode about the wrongs of Amazon somehow built into Doctor Who? That could be like where you're in the resolution. You're like, I'm done, no more. They're necessary altogether. They live separately. They have very distinct, special roles. Because when you are a feminine person, I believe that like you're connected to like the universe. Everybody is. Their femininity is what connects you to the universe. It's like your spirituality. It's like the groundedness of the earth and all the airiness of here. It's like smushed together in your womb space. And I think that's amazing. And what's amazing about it is I think people make it like sexy or like it only belongs to certain people who either look a certain way or their bodies can do a certain thing or they didn't have certain things happen to them. But it's actually this great big like tome of learning in which we all get to like, it's like your own personal ayahuasca journey if you want it to be every time you approach it, whether you are the one having it or you are the one interfacing with it.
From what you're saying, it sounds like to you at least, the female sexual response cycle represents like the epitome or the pinnacle of femininity. You know what I'm saying?
Femininity, yes. Or femininity, both things. Yes. But I also think, yes, I think it represents, you can't have life. And I'm talking, you know, you can't have creativity. You can't have anything. We have a space. We take nothing and we make something out of it. And whether that's a baby or soup or or bread or an orgasm or a feeling or a crygasm or whatever, I think it's really special because I think that we get told that there's a right way of what feminine is and there's a right way to be a girl and there's a right way to have sex and what sex is. Sex is like whatever the fuck. I'm queer, so I am bisexual and I identify as queer, and although I'm in a heteronormative relationship, I find that like, I've described to someone before, like I have queer sex. And to me, queer sex is if you're eating ice cream and you're having a sensual response to it, you get to fucking call it sex if you want. You don't have to have this idea that this other person is dictating pun, what it is, you know? And I think that there's also something about it that's very, it's like a take back. It's like, this is ours and it's real. Uh-huh. And we get told all these things about it. And then we act as if, I mean, don't even get me started. It's a totally different thing I'm a fan of, but don't get me started about how Europe just gave us, you know, just gave people 2 days off for their period during the month. Like, we've been telling ourselves that it's in our minds and we need to just buck up and go to work. And it's the same thing with the female sexual response cycle. Like, so that's why I'm so fascinated about it. And I want everyone else to be fans of it.
Well, this is your place.
Yes. Okay. First of all, I'm nominating you for the next companion on Doctor Who. That's done.
Yeah, I didn't realize on my bingo card today for this episode that Doctor Who was going to come up, and I love it.
Yes.
Yeah, I want us to all think about that every time we watch it. You're like, what part of the sexual response cycle is this episode?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when I grew up, it was really the only vocal person we had out there speaking about, you know, sex in general, and it wasn't even just female sex. It was really about partner sex, was Dr. Ruth, you know? Yeah. She was sort of the first woman or person who came out and was like, let me normalize this behavior that we all have, we all feel, we all love. So when in your life did the sexual response cycle sort of get pointed out to you as a B C D, you know, a systematic approach to, like, or it's like, it's almost like a math problem, like,
yeah,
you're
it
saying
is.
Like
it is.
One has to go to the next and yeah, whatever. Yeah. When did you first learn about this, like, staircase yeah. of definition?
Okay, so I'm laughing because sometimes you gotta laugh about things. Otherwise, you'll just cry your eyes out. You don't. And that's okay. I think me and almost every single person that breathes air had sexual trauma happen when I was growing up. And it made me, still to this day, and I'm gonna be 50 on July 7th. So still to this day, it made me feel some kind of way about an orgasm. It made me feel terrified. It made me feel like someone was taking my power away. And then sex in general, sex with another person, sex by myself, there was like this, it's sort of like you just agree. And I think all of us to some degree have this, like when you have an orgasm and you're going through like puberty and stuff, especially, you just agree you're gonna put this shame backpack on. Like you've got it. You really wanna do this thing. You're going to take it off for 2 seconds. This thing's going to happen. And then you're going to put the shame backpack on again. It's going to be even heavier. And I've always been like a person who's like decided to create myself. And it was something that was so like taken for me and defined for me. And I was bullied about the way I looked as a kid. I looked like, which I think now is very celebrated, it's Pat from Saturday Night Live, if you want to look that up, if you don't know. And you go, no, you did. I did. And that's okay. And that's, I'm proud of it. But I got sort of made fun of a lot. And like, you like this and you're like this. And if anybody found out, like anybody got my journal and they saw someone I had a crush on, like the things kids would say about it, and you know how gross kids could be. And you're like, no, I don't want to stick that in my, I do so bad. Like you get so confused. And I got so attacked for like having breasts early and also then getting sexually activated like that. And your love map gets all like twisty and weird. And I didn't know. I just didn't know. And then having sexual relationships based on reflections of primary caregiver things that happened. And you're like, recreating stuff and you're thinking, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is the way this works. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. I am supposed to do that. And why don't I work? And all of that. And it sort of drew me to like, okay, I'm just going to find out all the answers because that's just my way of handling things. Find out all the answers and then make art out of it. So like probably 20 years ago, I wrote a play called Potential Space, where I made a woman play my vagina and another woman play my heart and another woman play my head. And then I played the female that they all existed in.
You were so early on the Pixar movie.
I know,
you were so early. Like you did it 20 years before.
I know. I had a friend of mine make a giant map of my vagina as a Narnian map with a kitty rescue in it. And so it's half correct and half just fantasy. Because I was kind of like, I need to take this back. And it was all about how I couldn't feel pleasure. It was all about how I was so freaked out and I had so much like confusing, like pain, not pain. I don't know what that is. And it interrupted. So my path was like this interrupted sexual response cycle, which has forced me in a good way because it's, I think I'm so not special about this, but I have a tendency when something is happening to want to talk about it and create it and stuff like that. So then the act of being able to talk to my friends or make art about it, whatever, and go like, oh yeah, sex feels like a thousand needles of fire to me. And then you hear another friend who has sex all the time and it doesn't bother her. She's like, oh wait, I have that happen sometimes too. And notice dudes don't ever say, in order to have sex with you, sometimes it feels like a thousand needles of fire. You will never hear them say that, probably. No offense to you, David, but that probably has never happened. I don't know how you have sex. I'm making an assumption you stick it in things.
I do it upside down, but you can keep going.
So because sex was painful and I didn't understand that, I went to a pelvic floor physical therapist. And I literally had someone, and again, this was before, these are more normal now. I had a pelvic floor physical therapist about 20 years ago who, fun fact, I co-own a distillery in Orange County called the Blinking Owl Distillery. Me and her co-own that distillery together. And the way we met was she stuck her hands up my vagina and massaged it around and created blood flow. And we talked and it was like, you forget, we get taught this stuff about our response, that it's supposed to be just like a plug and play, like a turnkey, like a, you know what I mean? And it's so not. It's like this wonderland. And we judge ourselves if it is a wonderland. And I do this anyway. We treat other women that like, oh, you just do this, 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 boom, like they're magic. And all of us have our own magical little path. And sometimes we get caught in a land and that's okay.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, even to this day, it's so under-discussed, not just the sexual response cycle, but the female anatomy. You know, I can honestly tell you, I had four kids and I had them without any interventions, no epidurals, no anything. No one told me what was going to happen during birth, right after birth, 6 months after birth. Mm-hmm. You know, now that my youngest is eight years after, I'm still dealing with repercussions. Yeah. You know, nobody talks about this shit. For you, knowledge was power. Knowledge was getting you past the, you know, just the excitement, the plateau stage, and like encompassing like the full experience.
Yeah, the full experience of what happens, like even just on your body, like what you were saying, I'm going to say this wrong, the vestibular bulbs. You know, everyone talks about like the clitoris. Clitorises are great. Some people can't even have theirs touched. Some people need a different kind. That's what's so amazing about the female body is that under the clitoris, there's these vestibular bulbs and they swell up and they get really puffy, but they're like kind of around your outer labia and inner labia, but people never think. And if you tell a girl, if they go real slow and they mess with that bit for a while and then they go in, what happens is those vestibular bulbs get all puffy. And when they get puffy, it makes sex more pleasurable. So people go, oh, you got to get up here on the clit. No, if you go to the vestibular bulbs and you get those all like high, then you go up. Now you will be revered as an immortal being who, you know, drinks the elixir of the gods and goddesses. If you know that, I just had a conversation like 2 weeks ago with my partner who, like, we have a great time. And I have incredibly awkward sex. I can have like one time it can be like, that was great. And another time, like 15 minutes in, I'm crying. And another time I hate your guts. And another time I feel like nothing's ever going to work and I'm broken. And I don't think that's a unique experience to me. But I was like, I never said, because I feel stupid. We feel stupid as women because we are like, oh yeah, that would be nice if you did that. But I've never had someone.
Well, Kirsten, it goes back to exactly that. There's a lot of shame around this, man and female in the bedroom. Once you start talking about these things, we're able to pleasure each other in amazing ways. But if we just act like we can't, let's not talk about it. Let's just assume your sexual experiences will only be at a one or a right. two. But if you start having those awkward, is how we normally would feel them, but eventually become beautiful and passionate and romantic conversations, it becomes a wonderful experience. And I love that you had pain. Your pain got you interested in, how do I fix this pain? How do I learn more? Most doctors are like, I had pain here. And so then I learned about that. And then I got so interested in that and it helped me so much, I became a doctor. So you're almost like Dr. Sex, because you had the pain and then you learned. And now you're like, wow, that brought me such joy, such freedom. I can't wait for other people to feel this.
Yeah. Way. And I actually want to be clear. I've had long-term female sexual partners and I've always felt this kind of, my partner and I giggle about it because I don't exude sexual confidence. Like, it's not like I know what I'm doing. And it's not like I want to make that really clear, because I think sometimes when people are open about it, they talk about it, everyone's like, oh, you know more than me. Or, oh, you're a sexual dynamo. And people like can stick things up your butt and you can have a L spot orgasm while you crochet. And that's not true. Just to be clear, if anyone's thinking that.
What if you want it when you're crocheting? I know. Come on, Kirsten. I know. Kill that dream for me.
Fuck of a blanket. But it's like that idea that, like, even with women, like, I haven't sometimes been like, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's such an emotional experience, the sexual response cycle, too.
Well, and not just emotional, but also like intellectual, mental. Yes. Like, because you said society and social conditioning teach us as women, you know, in our 40s, I hope my daughter's generation is not as stifled, you know, you would say, until you go on your own journey. But they teach us that, you know, you're not supposed to feel that way. That's wrong. If you don't orgasm right away, you're causing your partner, da, 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 you know, all this bullshit
right. That
is not relevant towards the experience.
Not relevant.
None of it. So it's emotional and intellectual, I think.
Yes. Yes. I have a friend that I know from the theater. Her name's Courtney Hoffman, and she's now an amazing director and stuff. But I knew her because she was like 19. I'm a member of Theater of Note, and we do a bunch of weird punk rocky stuff there.
It's a great place.
It is a great place. And we were backstage in the alley, because it's very tiny. So our backstage is in the alley. And she was talking about this guy that she had just met. And I can tell the story because she actually won an award and told this story in front of people. She had this guy that she hadn't had sex yet. And I was like, don't have sex with him until you've had an orgasm in front of him. And this is advice that I didn't even know for myself. She was like, wait a minute. I was like, I don't care. Like, just masturbate in front of him. Make him do it in front of you. Like, just have an orgasm with him in the room. And she did. She told all of her friends. All of her friends did this. And I remember being jealous, because we forget that, like, I gave my nieces vibrators when they were in high school. And my mom was like, that's terrible. And I was like, why? Like, let them know how to do this so they're not searching it out. You know what I mean?
That's a cool aunt.
What, you know what I mean? And then the stigma, don't even get started, the stigma about vibrators and all that. It's like, whatever gets you to God, go there. If someone can blow in your ear and you can get off, great. But you aren't special if someone else needs to get on top of a cement maker while listening to Tesla to get off, get on that thing and play your weird metal cowboy music.
I have to share this with my friend who actually is the tour manager for Tesla. So this is, again, another thing on the bingo card that I didn't expect. So can I ask a really dumb question, ladies?
Yes. I mean, Kirsten's going to answer.
Yeah. Must one have a vagina to say I have a female sexual response cycle?
No, I mean, there is a sexual response cycle. I would say the difference is just scientifically, a woman can have an orgasm and not hit resolution. You can stay in arousal. We can have an orgasm and just stay in arousal for like, I don't know. I don't think that biologically dudes can do that. Masculine bent people. But hey, why can't you try? That would be my answer. What's your answer, Claire?
I don't feel I am knowledgeable enough to answer that, to be honest. You know, I don't really know. I'm not sure.
So for today's purposes, we're probably talking about people who have a vagina, and or we'd love to know your experience. If you're like, I don't have a vagina, I do relate to the female sexual response cycle. Great. Let us know.
I think that the thing that I find unique about the female sexual response cycle is the desire bit. I heard someone actually talking about this the other day on something, and they were, our desire bit, it's like, it's much longer. It's much more intellectual. It's the day. We're rock stars, if any of us can do it, get like all juiced up from like 5 minutes of someone necking. It's like, did I get everything I needed done today? Did something, you know what I mean? Am I at peace with how I'm interacting with my community and the world? Are my people taken care of? Did you talk to me kindly today? Or did you give me a mean look, but I know you're cool and I'm into mean looks, or whatever the fuck it is. But like, whatever it is beforehand, and we don't give ourselves that. And I'm talking about myself. Like, I forget all the time. Like, you know what? It takes a long time. And that's great. That's great. Because honestly, if I just had desire and arousal and I didn't have the da-da-da-da, which happens a lot, that's okay. That means that's important still. You know what I mean? Like, orgasms are great and all that, but some people can't have them. Some people can't have them with partners for whatever reason. And all that other stuff, I think, is very unique to women or female bent creatures, because it's so many different things that you're looking at. It's not just the one physical thing. That's my take.
Yeah, I'll talk to my wife and say, I'd like to have sex tomorrow if that's okay. And she'll be like, thanks for letting me know. And I've noticed that actually will benefit versus me saying like in the same day, if I go like, hey, can we maybe get it on tonight? She might be like, okay. And everyone's different. Of course, this is just her. But I do think there is something sweet about that. Her brain is starting now to have the gears going, and then the down there is starting to have the gears going. So she's already kind of preparing herself a little bit for it, so that when we're having it, it's wonderful. And I used to think like, oh, this feels, again, awkward conversations. Shouldn't it just happen? Shouldn't it just be normal? Shouldn't I just kiss her and amazing things happen? It's like, no, we're very interesting, complicated people. And there's beautiful things to learn.
Yeah. And consent is so fucking sexy, because it's vulnerable to ask somebody, because they could say no. They could say whatever the fuck they're going to say. So it's that thing that we forget, that like just asking something is weirdly hot.
I agree.
So you're welcome, ladies.
How has understanding the whole response cycle affected you personally? Has it given you just that knowledge is power, freedom from expectations? Is it your desire to like spread the word and free others, I guess?
Yeah. Do you love talking about it with friends, or is this something you kind of keep to yourself?
I will tell anybody about like a pelvic floor physical therapist or a thing. And it's funny because there's two different kinds of female bent creatures. There's people that will be like, oh, wait, what? Or, oh, I have that happen or whatever. And then there's this woman. I do Pilates and we are fine and everything. and ew. And it's like, okay, you maybe have everything working. I do Pilates too. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, we probably can all do cool things with our Kegel muscles. I'm not trying to diss you. Like, but it's that like, ew, let's not stare at it or talk about it or, you know, whatever. So I, yes, I get very excited about talking about it. I used to, and I think I still do, but it used to be more based on like, is this just me? Like who else? And I would get a lot of information from friends being like, yeah, that's just you right now. Because when you try to explain to people like, no, when I have sex, it hurts, or I think it hurts. Or when I have sex, I punch people in the face. Or when I get excited, I get angry or I get ashamed and all that. So it's been like, for instance, I don't totally buy astrology, but I think it's a kaleidoscope in which to look at the world, like a lot of other things. I think the same thing about the female sexual response cycle. I think, yes, I like, it's a kaleidoscope in which to look at my fears, my desires. You know, there's this whole thing like this sex magic that I don't think is such a bad idea, where you think about like the thing you want and then you masturbate. And then right when you orgasm, you're supposed to like try to think about it again. I'm like, that might fucking work. You know what I mean? Like just shooting all that energy, like in that way.
Yeah. That's like the secret, but adding another component.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I look at it like, I've had to heal it, because if you don't heal it, right, it's just going to sit and fester.
But people do. Kirsten, billions of people are enjoying mediocre sex all the time and will never, ever talk about it beyond that. And I think you have such a beautiful look at it.
Because they don't have an alternate.
I agree with you. And I think they do it because they're afraid. I know for me, like, I still, like, when I, like, look at it and in certain ways, like, I get, like, freaked out. You know what I mean? It actually scares the fuck out of me. So I think the reason why people, the alternative to mediocre sex is to get vulnerable about a bunch of other things. And that's too scary. So why not stay in the shallow water? Because there's so much failure in the deep water. And that is, it makes you feel all some kind of way. It can make you feel great, but it can also make you feel terrible. So I think that's the other thing I think is so fascinating about it, is it's like, it's just like a big, weird teacher.
What should men know who are partnering with females about the sexual response cycle? How should they educate themselves? How should they talk to their partners?
Help us. If there was one thing, if you could boil it down to one main point to get across.
I would say, you know what? Do some of the labor yourself. Like, I would say, go learn stuff. Go find a book. I actually was going through this is just me like walking by my bookshelf, just so we're clear. Just walking by. I heart female orgasm. The elusive orgasm. This is the female pelvis, because who doesn't need to know all of the different parts? But this book in particular, The Woman's Anatomy of Arousal, my EMDR therapist, because that's one of the things I did to kind of get over some of the nonsense that had happened to me, which is this rapid eye movement thing, had recommended that book. And what I like about that book in particular is any book that steps out female sexuality as not like an orgasm, but all of these other things. And for me, it's got pictures and maps and things, and you're like, whoa, I didn't know. And it's a very good book, and it's written by someone, Sherry Winston. It won some book award from the Sexual Educators, and it's called The Women's Anatomy of Arousal. So I would say learn stuff and then go to the source. Don't learn stuff and then be like, now I'm going to try it out on you, magic. Go to the person and say, hey, I read this. Is that true for you? You know, I would say that. And also, I think the other thing that we need to do as sexual partners, and I mean this as whatever, however you identify, if you're non-binary, whatever, I believe that sexuality, that kind of to be sexy with each other, you have to find where you want to sit on the polarity, because same is not hot to people. Usually, if you are like, what does that mean? How do you balance your energies, like who's going to be more, and it doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, you're more feminine, but so you're going to be more, it's not about dominant and submissive. It's just balancing energy and not, so I think that that's another thing, like balancing your own energy. So you're not having an expectation that that's that person's job to make you feel like a lady or a dude or whatever. And so you're presenting what you want to offer and then that person can compliment it. I would say that's the other thing too.
It sounds like if you are engaged with a female partner, you should have a both of you would be helpful, but you should have a baseline understanding of anatomy and of, you know, the cycle and the different steps up to orgasm and then after.
And understand that that body is its own textbook. Because there's going to be a body that's like, I never want you to touch my clit, or I never want you to be doing this in circles, or I need you to whisper the lyrics of I've Been to Paradise, But I've Never Been to Me by Charlene in my ear while you do circle. Like every person is specific based on what's
happening. And it could be different each time, you know, but you have that baseline it's like, hey, listen, it's like making soup. You always have a broth and then whatever you put in the soup, sometimes you have beef stew, sometimes you have chicken noodle, sometimes you have, you know, jambalaya. I don't know, but it seems like that baseline needs to be there.
I also think it helps to be aware of your sexual response cycle, because if you tap out or you become different energetically, like I think that's important. If you become different energetically after you come, and that person is turned on by your desire of them, but now you're like, I like you. You're great. I like to cuddle. Do you want to put some peanut butter on some crackers? But I'll go down on you instead. Like that is a different energy than, oh my God, I'm so into you. And I think female bent creatures can get a little like, oh, well, you came. So this might be a waste of 45 minutes. We're never getting back. Like it can feel like that, you know, instead of like, taking your pleasure, I think it's harder. So I think that's another thing, to know how you respond. Do you need this in order to stave it off? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kirsten.
Yes.
Yeah.
First off, I just want to say beef stew, also not on my bingo card. Thrilled it showed up.
Nothing wrong with some beef stew. Every once in a while.
Yeah. In honor of just our general fanatics episodes, I do kind of have to ask you this. Because we usually ask, you know, you told us about your origin story in a sense that you had some pain and you went to see a pelvic floor specialist and that's great. So in a sense, though, that's what got you there. But to enjoy the female sexual response cycle, may I kindly ask, do you remember, and you can give us as little or as much detail as you'd like, when you were like, after maybe that experience, when you're like, let's try it out, where you were like, oh, this is essentially almost your first time, so to speak. Do you remember it?
Okay. So my grandmother, I grew up in Porterville, California, in the Central Valley of California. And my grandmother was getting rid of some books. And she had put it by the tree that I would quite often go pick asparagus and boysenberries and climb up this tree and eat them in silence away from the madness. But she lived in a trailer across the way from our house. So I go, and there was a thing there, and there were these books, and they had the most beautiful cover with the most beautiful woman on it. The guy, apparently she couldn't breathe because her shirt, the guy was like tearing her shirt off, and she was very beautiful. And I remember like, what is this? And opening it up, and it was just like, he's doing what to her nipples? Wait, what? What? And all of a sudden I understood what was happening. And then I was like, I need to be alone with this book. And this is outdoors is not, I need more alone than this. And no one was at the house, and it was like an acre of land. So it was like, I need loneliness and who, where.
Loneliness.
And I ran into my grandmother's bathroom, just overjoyed with like, something is about to happen. It is incredibly special. And I don't know what it is, but I'm doing it. But I knew it had something to do with that. So I got into my grandmother's bathroom and I closed the door. So I got that far. I was like, no one is coming home. This door is locked. I'm at the trailer. I'm not even at my house. And I'm going to do something with this book and these words, but I don't know exactly what it is. And suddenly I thought, oh, I know. I'm going to do a bad push-up on the toilet, which just meant like going to do a push-up, but then letting your pelvis fall on the, like the front round edge. The toilet was closed. And then like waiting for it and going through the whole thing. But the sad thing is that when I would come, was so scared of it because of what had happened. I would throw my whole body off and lay on the ground. No one in the house knew why the toilet seats kept breaking. I broke like three of them because I was a very broad-backed child, but that was it.
That's freaking amazing.
I can't wait for the movie, the coming of age movie. It should just really be called Coming of Age. And it's just the toilet seat is the avatar.
I love it.
Coming of Age. That's it. That's it.
Kirsten, this is an absolute joy. I hate that we're ending this podcast, but
you're going to have to come on for part two. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, sure.
Can you please regale us with a love letter to this wonderful, wonderful
topic? Okay. Dear female sexual response cycle, we have had a time, and I know that I should probably dedicate a paragraph to each part of you, but I'm not going to do that because this podcast is 20 minutes and because I don't know what part of you I need more than other parts of you, depending upon the day. I will tell you that you have taught me much and you are terrifying. I appreciate the mysteries that you hold. I appreciate that when I think about you, it feels like I'm at the Lilith Fair. I appreciate the Lilith Fair and that reminding me that the sexual response cycle is okay. Look up the Lilith Fair if you don't know what it is. I appreciate you helping me confront me with my own sexuality that is, and that you've taught me that sexuality is unnegotiable. And I appreciate you always returning me back and reminding me that it will always live inside of me. And that's a beautiful, wonderful, great, fantastic thing. And not a thing to feel not enough about because I feel like sometimes I'm not queer enough or I'm not straight enough to be able to work you right. And I appreciate that you show up in so many different ways and you're available to everybody, no matter what age you are, as long as you connect to the divine feminine in whatever way you do. And I hope we're friends forever, and I think we will be. And thank you for putting in a good word for me in FLAG. And also, I decided that my female sexual response cycle was on the FLAG team, because apparently there's a FLAG team. And I want to say that I will continue to be angry at you and try not to be. And I thank you for being a vessel in which I can put all of my stuff into. And I will remind myself that I need to empty that vessel and clean it out energetically and then fill it back up again all the time, not just with sex, but with art and deep breaths and hand massages. Thank you for being there. Love, your friend, Kirsten.
Beautiful.
Amazing. Amazing.
Thank you. That was excellent.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
David, I think that's incredibly smart of you to prep your partner with, hey, I'm thinking about this for tomorrow, you know, and to get that desire and excitement stage going over a 24-hour period. Because as discussed, for some women, not everyone, but for some, you do need to like mentally check things off a list before you're able to release, you know, yourself physically into the euphoric state of the sexual response cycle. And I think that's just really great insight. What made you think to do that?
I just, you know, my hope, I guess, is through just years of marriage, of trying to listen and understand that, you know, there's things that I want, there's things that she wants. And I know that prepping her has always been a good thing. She really appreciates about me that I don't shy away from conflict. She's someone who's like, bye, and will go into a closet if there's conflict that comes up. But she appreciates that I don't. That's why she'll say she married me. One of the reasons is because I'm someone who will be like, hey, let's talk about this. And she's like, I don't want to, but I know this is a good thing. And I think similarly, she appreciates that I would bring up like, hey, like sex would be really fun. And, you know, I know sometimes it could just be an hour. It could be an hour later. It could be a day later. It could be half a day. But just giving her brain, because she's a head person, right? Going back to our Enneagram talk, like she's a five, and fives are very much in their head about a lot of things. So that's where it all starts for her. So if I can get the idea going, then it circulates. But I don't think I really knew it more than just like, this is, I think, helpful for my wife. I loved Kirsten talking about this is something that she's like, it could be a whole day for me and prepping and thinking about it. And you're like, I get it. Now it gave a little bit of science to me, this thing that I was doing with my wife. And it feels even better now because I'm like, yeah.
Right.
For boys, though, unfortunately or fortunately, it's like, show us a boob and we'll be like, ay. So that I think for ladies, it's a similar exact thing is happening. It isn't certainly, I'm pretty sure, is not a picture of a male dong, but I think it's something to be shown, right? Like, or even if it's just a kind word, it's still something that starts the spark. And it could be an hour, a day, 2 days, but I just think it's the same concept, but it's not a boob and it's not a dong. It's something else.
Well, it's funny because understanding the sexual response cycle gives context to any situation, like anything else, you know? And it's somewhat of a formula. If you follow the formula of excitement and desire, you understand the plateau, you are able to, you know, mentally and physically be present, you know, for the orgasm and then the resolution. There's a formula to follow. And whether that formula takes 48 hours, a week, 20 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, as she said, you know, whatever, everyone has their kinks. And it gives context to the mystery, I guess, of like how to achieve, you know, whatever your body's capable of at any given time.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people may go into a sexual situation and not even have the achievement be viewed as the orgasm.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for some, it's just the excitement and the desire phase, you know?
Yeah.
And that's totally cool.
Or just the intimacy. Yeah. It's just being naked with someone else. Like, it's really, I loved how she broke it down, and it gave such weight to, because, you know, I think we put a lot of weight. I know I do sometimes. Well, I'll even ask, I'll be really honest here. I'll ask my wife afterwards. I'm like, just making sure, like, you had to know. Like to me, going, that's important. And now Kirsten kind of reminds me now, you know what? She doesn't have to. And even my wife will be like, I didn't have one right now, but I so enjoyed this moment. And so I think there's something really special about kind of not putting the orgasm on the pedestal all the time. You know what I mean? And that putting all these other things. Yeah.
Well, and lifting the expectations. One thing that I thought was interesting is, like, you know, when we were growing up and Kirsten and I are around the same age, nobody wanted to label anything. You didn't want to label yourself as this or that, or you didn't want to label the sex or label. It was all kind of like, free thinking or unspoken, unsaid. And nowadays, it's sometimes I get, you know, not irritated, but sometimes I get overwhelmed with all the labels because everybody wants to label exactly what, you know, what this is, what that sexuality is, how they view themselves or their partners or whatever. There's a lot of labels floating around. These labels I find helpful.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's actually it gave me new insight and appreciation into why this generation is into labeling.
Yeah.
Because labeling is knowledge. It's knowledge helpful. Is power. Power is freedom. So there's my takeaway.
My wife and I, we didn't talk a lot. We just thought we should assume a lot. And then only when we started talking is when there would be a lot more pleasure happening. So now it's very rare where there's not an orgasm involved for her, especially, which is great. But I think it goes back to, you know, you got to walk through those moments of shame, and labeling helps take away shame 100%. Yeah. When you can say this is a thing, all of a sudden you're like, yeah, well, now I have words for it. So it's not just me fighting my childhood here. I'm actually able to talk it out. And wow, when we talk it out, we get to have a really good time here. So it's hard to, you know, see the forest through the trees.
Yep, I love it. All right, David, tell the folks where they can find us and other good episodes of Fanatics.
Oh, I would love to do that,
Thank
Claire.
Thank you.
You could find it on Spotify, Apple. Are you a SoundCloud person? Heck, you want to go to our website? Wearefanatics.com. WEAREFANADDICTS.com. And it's got all the episodes. But this one is a little extra special, my friends. And if you liked it, 5 stars it up. Like, subscribe, share, all the things. We appreciate it. Thank you for being a fan of us. We are fans of you. And we'll see you next Thursday with something probably a tad less sexual, for better or worse.
Bye. Coming up next week on Fanatics, we have Jamie Kaler, the comedian Jamie. Also a friend of mine, Jamie. He's from, of course, My Boys, Dads in Parks, Heather's Friends, Robot Chicken, and the Parrot Lounge podcast. Jamie is coming on to talk about his love of good service. So we will see you guys next Thursday to talk about all things good service.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's WEAREFANADDICTS. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
All right, David, hit it.
Doctor Who. Beef stew. Sexy time. With you. David Tennant, we know you're listening.
Enhance your listening experience with Wondery Plus. Enjoy ad-free listening, exclusive content, binges, and more. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.